And let's read it all out together, shall we? When Jesus came to the region of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Turned it off for some reason. Like I said, I was starting to think about a question today, a particular question, but as I was drawn to that, I also, for some reason, my mind went off to Mastermind. And, you know, you've probably seen the TV program. Have you been on Mastermind here? No? Okay. And Mastermind, and actually, when thinking about Mastermind, some really good sketches on Mastermind. I really like the Mork and Mawai sketch. And I quite like the two Ronnie's sketch. But perhaps the one I like most is this one. So we're going to show it.
And welcome once again to Master Brain of the Universe. Remember, any contestant who answers all the questions correctly will become Master Brain of the Universe. Let's meet tonight's contestant. And you are...
Mr. Planks.
Mr. Planks, and you are a professor of English grammar.
I are.
We are indeed. Start the...
Well, that's how my... That's where my mind goes when I'm preparing messages. But we're going to talk about an important question. I was thinking about my first thought was around quiz shows. I wonder what, if you have like a favourite quiz show. There's a lot, isn't there? Pointless and The Chase... the 1% Club, we kind of like that one. Who wants to be a millionaire? And there's others. There's all these different quiz shows that you can watch on the telly. I mean, maybe you've got your favourite. Sometimes the answer a person might give on a couple of those quiz shows has the potential to change their life. I think particularly the 1% Club, you could win up to nearly £100,000. Or certainly millionaire, if you get that far and you were on the millionaire question, that has real potential to change your life. Perhaps not so much on The Chase when you win a couple of quid and things like that. But some of the answers that you might give and some of those quiz shows has that potential, if you win, to change your life, I suppose. But you know what? There are other questions in life that, depending on your answer, will have a great impact. They could change a person's life forever. When I was thinking about that, one of the most obvious one, probably, for those who have been in this situation, is when you're asked the question, "Will you marry me?" That has a big impact, doesn't it, on your, on the rest of your life, what you give the answer to that question. I was talking to Sue, actually, about where I proposed to Alison on Stockfield Mount Flats. You know, the flats at the bottom, on the roof of Stockfield Mount Flats. I had to get the key off the caretaker. I was living there. I had to get the key because to get onto the roof. And the caretaker says, "Why do you want the key?" I said, "I'm going to propose to my wife, Alison." And he says, "Oh, okay." And then he did say this. He's absolutely true. He said, "What if she says no?" So I says, "I'll throw her off." So the big, as you can see, she said yes. So it was an important answer, wasn't it, at the time, to be absolutely true. So... my first point really is the question, who do you say that I am? And I'm not talking about me. This is a question of Jesus, or by Jesus, in Matthew 16. And I believe it is one of those important questions, one of those vital questions, depending on your answer, has the real potential to change your life. First, Jesus asked his disciples, who do other people say that he is? And I think he might have asked that for two reasons. The first is that the region where this takes place, as we read, is Caesarea Philippi, which was heavily associated, actually, with pagan worship at the time. The second reason I think Jesus asked, who do people say that I am, is because there seems to be a few different opinions going around. In verse 14, he said the disciples replied, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. There's a bit of confusion around the question. Today, in many ways, I think this is much the same. People are worshipping a lot of false gods, and I'm also sure that if you was to go into Oldham Town Centre and take a survey, you'd get many different opinions and answers to the question, who was or is Jesus? But then Jesus asks his disciples, yeah, but who do you say that I am? The question goes from a public opinion to a personal confession. And this, I believe, remains a very important question, if not the most important question that people individually must still personally answer for themselves today. Who do you say that Jesus is? It's a question that actually is looked at on the first week of the Alpha course. Some of you know about Alpha. Many of you have done Alpha. And it's a 10-week course thinking about the foundations of the Christian faith. And week one on Alpha is this question they look at. Who is Jesus? And the first thing they do on Alpha is they consider, well, firstly, did he exist? And actually, when you look at the evidence and you look at some of the historical evidence, the documents, historical documents, all that kind of stuff, I think most people very clearly, even historians, would say that a person called Jesus existed probably around 2,000 plus years ago. But after we pass that stage, we then think about what did Jesus say about himself? And when we look at what he said about himself, we ask the question, what options does that then give us regarding who he is? Is he a good man? Is he a madman? Was he a God man? And in that, we often quote C.S. Lewis. Some of you all know C.S. Lewis. From years ago, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and many other books. And C.S. Lewis was a Christian. And C.S. Lewis says this, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be insane or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice, he writes. Either Jesus was and is the Son of God, or else he was insane or evil. But C.S. Lewis goes on. Let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left us with that option. He did not intend to. We are faced with a frightening alternative. Either Jesus was and is exactly who he said he was, or else he was insane or something worse. To C.S. Lewis, it seems clear that he could neither have been insane or evil. And thus he concludes, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. You know, I'm not sure where you are with the answer to that question, where if Jesus were to ask you, who do you say that I am? For some of you might not be sure what the answer is, and you're trying to work it out. Can I just ask you to keep going? The Bible says, seek and you will find. Can I just encourage you to keep seeking and keep looking? I want to encourage you as part of that to hope to have an open heart and to have an open mind. And as a church, we definitely want to support people on their journey of faith. And if you're not, think I'm not a Christian yet, I'm still trying to work it all out, is Jesus real, who was he, then we just want to get around you as a church. We want to support you. We want you to feel free to come and ask questions and bring that into the arena so that we can walk that journey together. Who do you say I am? But it is probably one of the most important questions, if not the most important question, that a person individually, personally has to face today. The second point that I want to make is simply this. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 16, Simon Peter gave his personal answer to the question. He said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Peter had experienced a revelation beyond worldly knowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. That he was the promised Savior. He was the promised deliverer, anointed one, divine one, sent by God to bring salvation to all. And I have to say that I have found this to be my answer. I'm really pleased that in my journey of faith, there was a time when I felt that revelation that Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah, Son of the Giving God, that kind of became real for me. I often used to use the illustration, I've used it in here, but I used to use it with young people about those magic eye pictures. You know, you used to see lots of colour, but never, you just look at them, there were lots of coloured dots and all kinds of stuff. And you used to look at these pictures and people would look at them and just see these coloured dots and all kinds of things. And then other people would look at these pictures and they'd go, "Oh, it's a spaceship," or "Wow, it's a sunflower," and you go, "It's just a lot of coloured dots." And I always remember one time in Harrogate when I used to go, they used to go into the town centre occasionally on a Saturday, and there was a guy who used to often be there, and he'd have these massive magic eye pictures, and he'd often have them on the floor, and you'd just go around and you look at them, and you'd have people there going, "Oh, look, there's a beautiful scene of a dinosaur or something like that," and I'd be looking at them and like, just coloured dots. But one Saturday I saw it. I don't know what happened. I must have squinted my eyes in a slightly different way. But suddenly this 3D image within the coloured dots popped out. And I was like, "Oh, I can see them." And every time I look at the different ones now, I could do that now because once I've done it, I've done it. And suddenly that happened for me one day. And I'm so pleased it did. One day that revelation that Jesus was not just a good man, not just someone who was around many years ago, that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I am sure that many here today will also answer in that same way. So as Peter had answered, we answer, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But when we answer that today, what are we actually saying? If I'm saying to Jesus, I would say that you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. If you answer that, what are we saying? Well, I think we're saying a number of things. We're saying that there is a God, for starters. We're saying that there is a God who is our creator, who made us, who was there at the beginning, who put things into place. We're saying that God is not disconnected and distant, because we're saying that he sent Jesus into the world because he wants to connect with us. He's not distant. He's not sat back. He wants to be part of our lives. We're acknowledging by saying that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, we're acknowledging that Jesus died for us on the cross that first Good Friday for all our sin. And we're acknowledging that Jesus rose again on the third day, that he has the ultimate victory. And if I and you believe this, then this has to change everything. It has to do. If we think about it just for a moment and say, "Yeah, that is who I believe Jesus is. So that is what I believe." It changes everything. We also, by giving the answer, acknowledging that he calls us now to follow him, because that's what he said. He calls us now to follow him, not in part, not in an okey-cokey, sometimes in, sometimes out, bit in, a bit out way. Not in any lukewarm way. You know, being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus is not a part-time job. We are not on a zero-hour contract. For example, you are invited to be a part of a follower of Jesus just on a Sunday. We are not in that position. If there is true revelation, our aim at least has to be that we are all in. We might not be all in all the time, but our aim has to be that. If we have that revelation true and it's authentic and it's real and we really believe it, surely we have to go for all in. And if our answer is, if we truly know and say that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, it has to change for me everything about us. It has to change our words, what we do, how we use our time and our money, what our purpose is. It has to influence our relationships, our morality. It has to change how we approach death. It has to change our priorities. It has to change our choices. It changes how we view world events. It has to affect everything. It has to. If that is our answer today, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We can't be passive. It can't be part-time. It can't be casual. It has to change everything about what we are, who we are, and what we're meant to be. But then to move on just a little bit, because I was thinking a lot about Peter and he giving this answer and that, but I was thinking about how we can take a lot of encouragement from Peter, the disciple Peter. Some of us looked at Peter during this year's Lent course, and we looked at how Peter denied Jesus three times after Jesus was arrested. Some of you know the story. And it's interesting that he denied Jesus three times after Jesus was arrested, even though just a short time earlier, he firmly and sincerely said to Jesus, "I will never do that." Because in Matthew 26, it says this, then Jesus told them, talking to his disciples, he's in that place in the upper room, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you in Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. But we know that Peter did go on when Jesus was arrested and the disciples scattered from the garden. And then in the different places in the marketplace, people approached Peter and said, "You were with Jesus, weren't you?" And he said, "No, not me. I've never seen him. I don't know him." But then on the course that we did, we thought about how did Jesus deal with Peter's denial? How did Jesus deal with his mistakes and his mess up? And he's probably had feelings of guilt and shame. Maybe he felt he wasn't good enough anymore, Peter. Well, after the resurrection, on a beach, over breakfast, Peter and Jesus met again. And it was a time when Peter was restored. When Jesus forgave him, when there was forgiveness in the conversation, when there was this sort of welcome home to Peter, when there was this sense of being set free perhaps from the guilt that he carried and the shame that he carried, the mess that he knew he'd done. And Jesus set him free as he restored him in the conversation. Jesus also realigned him in the conversation. He reminded Peter who he was and whose he was, and what he was, that he was a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus, in that breakfast, after the resurrection, after the denial, realigned Peter and said, "Come on, this is where you are. This is who you are." And finally, Jesus reassigned Peter. He recommissioned Peter in the purposes of Christ. You know, many of us, I'm sure, can relate to Peter. We know at times that we have let Jesus down. We have made a mess of things. Perhaps some might feel a sense of shame or guilt. Or we hear the whisper of the enemy again that says, "You're not good enough. You're not like, you know, the rest of them, they've got it sorted. Not you. You're just not good enough, are you?" But just as perhaps we can relate to Peter in his weakness, we also need to know that we can take encouragement from Peter's resurrection encounter with Jesus. See, we too can experience, even today, meeting Jesus. Yeah, not in a physical form by a campfire, But we can meet Jesus in this place through the fire of his present spirit. We've been talking about that. We've been singing about that, haven't we? And in this place, even in this room today, some of us can know that we can be restored as we meet with Jesus. We might have messed up. We might be feeling with shame and guilt. We might be thinking we're not good enough. But we can be restored. We can be forgiven. We can be accepted. We can know that Jesus will welcome us home. We can be set free from that stuff that holds us down and captures us. Because that's the type of Jesus that we have if we just come. Some of us, we might need to be realigned. You might need to know again today who you are and whose you are and what you are. You are full of Jesus. That's who you are. You belong to the living God. Let me realign you with that today. Because the world is taking you down a different path and has sort of whispered a different identity. We sang about identity earlier on. Some of us, we might need to be reassigned, recommissioned again in this place today to follow the purposes of Christ in our lives. I wonder today, who needs that again? How do we learn from Peter? Who needs those 3 R's, as I put it, to be restored and realigned and reassigned? It's interesting, this story today, because when I started on to write it, and this was my introduction, and I thought, this is gonna, I can't use this as my introduction and all that. So I had to change direction. But I feel that was right today to do that for different reasons. I think some of us need to just think about that question. Who do you say that I am? And if you say that you to Jesus, you are the Messiah, the living God, then let it change you. Let it change everything about you. Let it filter into all that you are. And take encouragement from Peter, because even when we mess up and we get it wrong, there is an opportunity to meet with Jesus, to be restored and realigned and reassigned. But just to finish, there's 2 more R's that I've come up with. And it's simply this: rock and roll. Verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, he says, I tell you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. As we now know, after this conversation, and then after the cross, and then after the resurrection, and then after the 3 R's breakfast, it's not called that in the Bible, it's just my title, Peter, along with the other disciples, did go on to be the rock on which the church was built, empowered by the Holy Spirit. A church today, which is still strong and solid and growing. You know, they reckon there's between 2.3 and 2.6 billion Christians in the world today. That's encouraging, because we think, that's so many. You know, but the job of building the church has not finished. It continues on in each and every generation until Jesus returns. Today, we stand on the rock, which is Jesus. We stand on the building blocks of all of God's people who have gone before us. Peter, the other disciples, and all who have faithfully followed Jesus down the ages. And now we are to continue to build the church of Jesus Christ today. You and me. That's our calling. That's our commission. That's our realigning. That we are called to build the church of Jesus Christ. To stand on those that have gone before us and to keep the job going, because Jesus has not yet returned. So our purpose is still the same. And during the Lent course, I don't know if they did it on the Thursday night, but I played it on the Wednesday. I played a song. I'm not going to play the song, but I'm going to read the lyrics in a minute. I used to work for a guy called Rob Frost, and he used to have a really good friend called Paul Fields. Paul Fields was a Christian artist, a singer. And one of the things we did when I worked for Rob Frost, we toured with something called Burning Questions. And there was a song in Burning Questions that Paul Fields wrote. And it's a song called Stony Ground. And it's a song that Paul Fields wrote as if he was Peter. As if Jesus had said to him, you are going to be the rock on which I am going to build my church. And Paul Fields kind of wrote this song as if he was Peter, in some ways responding to Jesus' words, knowing his weaknesses, knowing his frailties. And these are the words that Peter spoke, or according to Paul Fields, these are song words that came from Paul Fields regarding this. He said this. This is the idea, this is Peter speaking or thinking. The words are this. Surely this is stony ground on which to build a kingdom. Surely, Lord, you might have found a better man than me. There must be many more, much worthier than I. There must be many, Lord, more brave. For I fear that I am not strong enough to lift your cross on high. There must be many, much more worthy. Many stronger you could save. Surely, Lord, this is cloudy water for turning into wine. Surely the most sour and bitter of all the grapes upon the vine. Oh, I don't mean to sound ungrateful, Lord, you know. But even with the strength I find, and all your power and wisdom, Lord, there must be some mistake. For I am weak, Lord. I am so very weak, Lord. I will only let you down. Surely this is stony ground, my Lord, on which to build your kingdom. Surely, Lord, you might have found a firmer rock than me. O Lord, a firmer rock, for I am weak, Lord, so very weak, Lord, I will only let you down. I don't know about you, but when I read those words, when I listen to that song, I think about how Peter might have felt that. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. What I do know is that's how I feel quite often. Because God says to me, you're going to be the rock on which I want you to build my church. And he says it to you. Where are his disciples today? Where are his followers? Where are the ones that he wants to restore and realign and recommission? He wants you to be the rock on which the church continues to be built for his glory. But maybe you feel a bit like Peter. Maybe you feel a bit like I do. Come on, God. Me? What have I got? What can I do? Yeah, people might think, yeah, but you can do it. You've got it all sussed out and all that. Not a lot of the time. A lot of the time I'm winging it. I'm going, help, 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 as I wing it as I go along. But God chooses me and he chooses you. He doesn't leave us on our own. He sends his spirit. We'll talk about that, won't we, soon. Think about Pentecost. He sends his power into us. And he sent Peter out into the world. Even though he denied Jesus, even though he said he wouldn't. Even messed up, but he said he wouldn't. Jesus restored him and sent him back out and said, build my church. And he did. In his unique way. As God will ask us to do it in our unique way. So that's the question today. Who do you say that I am? It's an important question. The answer to that question has the potential to change your life. It's not going to bring you £1 million. Like the millionaire question. But it will change your life if you sincerely get the answer to that question. And you live by it. It will change everything. How you face things, what you do, how you look at your time and money, how you watch the news, how you face the circumstances that life brings to you. It will change everything if you truly answer, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And then Peter, like Peter, you know, even though we might not always get it right, he still calls us to build his church in Chadderton and Oldham in this world today for his glory. Until he comes back. And that might be tomorrow. And it could be another 1,000 years. But Jesus says, build my church. Be fishermen and fisherwomen of men and women. For my kingdom's sake. Amen. 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 Let's just think a little bit about Jesus as we sing the song. What a beautiful name. Please be seated. So we just take a moment just to push in a little bit to whatever God's saying to you personally. I wonder where you are in that message today, in the songs that we've sung. I wonder what God's been saying to you. It is a life-changing question. Who do you say that I am? This is a question that I believe all must answer personally, individually. We don't answer it communally. We can sing it communally, and we've been singing about it. But we have to. It's an individual question, a personal response. And it has to go from a public opinion to a personal confession. And if you're trying to work it out and you've never come to that place where you say, I can say, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the God, I encourage you to keep being on that journey, and we want to help people to be on that journey. At some point on that journey, you get to a point where you have to give an answer. You have to take a step of faith, we call it. Maybe even today, somebody, that's the you know what, that's you. Maybe you're thinking, I believe that he existed. I believe he was God. I do believe he was the Son of the God. Well, you need to take your step of faith, because it's not something that needs to just live in your head. You need to put it into your heart. I need to invite him in. And if you have said that, if you already said that, many of you here will say, coming into this place today, yeah, that's my answer. I've said that for years. But even today, you think to yourself, yeah, but I just felt that sense of being realigned, because you think, well, yeah, that is who I said I am, but it doesn't affect my actions or my words. It doesn't affect how I view things. And it's as if you've moved off from that place of knowing that that's who you are, you belong to Jesus, that's who he is. And that's just to get back on again and say, this is who I am. This is who I belong to. This is who Jesus is. This is who I follow. Maybe you've stepped away because you've done stuff and messed up like Peter did. And Jesus says, well, could today be a day when I just restore you, meet with you by the fire of the Spirit in this place, just to sort of bring my forgiveness back and just realign and refocus you and redo whatever redos. Maybe that's for you today. That's, you know, let's not just be a place where we've come, we've done, we've gone. Let's be serious about what we're doing even in these next few minutes. And then for some of us, that just that whole sense again of being, knowing that your part of your purpose as a Christian, to follow Jesus, is to build his church. Whether you're going about your normal business, or whether it's in service in a particular way, or among your family, build his church. Build my church, Jesus says, until I come back. The job's not done. And his followers are his hands and his feet, you and me. You might not feel worthy. You might feel weak at times. You might feel, oh, me, God, with my history, with my mistakes. He did it with Peter. I'll tell you what, later on he did it with Saul. And if he did it with Saul, my goodness, he can do it with us. Don't squash him. Don't make him too small. Let's bow our heads in prayer. What a beautiful name is the name of Jesus. Lord, as we sing those words, may those words come from deep. Deep, a deep place of understanding that Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Your name is wonderful. Your name is beautiful. Your name is powerful. And I just pray, Lord, whatever you're saying among this place today, because I believe you're here, your presence is here, Lord, would you just speak into our hearts, and would you just affirm in us again what you're trying to say? How do we respond today to this message? Do we need to just have that proclamation in our hearts? This is who I am. I'm going to say, this is who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I'm going to let that be at the center of everything I am. How I view things, how I look at things, how I speak, it's because I know Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I know that he died for me on the cross. I know that he conquered sin and death when he rose again 3 days later. I know that he's alive. I know that he's for me, not against me. I know that he calls me to follow him today. For some of us, Lord, we need to say sorry. Yeah, we carry mess. Peter did. But we can come to you with our mess. And Lord, when we're sorry, when we're keen to change, your welcome is always upon us. Forgiveness, healing, restoration. You realign us again in the purposes of you. And then we say, Lord, build your church here. Build your church, yes, in who we are, Lord, numbers and influence and impact, because Lord, we want to be fully engaged in being your church. Lord, we want to continue to grow your church because we follow you. Show us how to do it, where to do it, how we can do it. Give us what we need to do it. But help us to do it. Help us to take this simple story of Peter today to think about how we can relate to our lives. May it challenge us, but may it encourage us. May it change us, transform us. We are your people as Peter was. Be glorified in us and among us. Speak into our deepness, Lord. Send your spirit. Minister to our hearts. Lift our heads to say again, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. May that give us confidence, hope, courage, strength to be your church, far beyond meeting together in these walls, that more may know that that is who you are, not just someone of history, not just a good man or even a prophet, but you are God. And you died for us, and you rose again victorious, and you call us now into relationship to follow you. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we prepare to leave, there's something in there that you've been grappling with or you felt God is speaking to you about. You know, there's people here that would love to chat it through, pray with you, either today while you're here, before you leave, which is ideal because it's good to do it while you can. Or if you need something outside, have a chat with somebody. Say, I want to talk about that with you. Have a coffee with you. And have a pray with you. Then let's do it together. You know, let's keep going. It's good. We sang a song right as you were coming in before the thought of our opening song as people were settling down. It was a new song. So I hope you picked it up, some of you, or as a new song to our congregation anyway. So we're going to finish with it. And it's called None Like Jehovah. Let's stand.